In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So I feel like this morning we hit the jackpot with our lections. Right? That first reading, not from Isaiah, but from Kings, where Elijah goes out in the desert and he encounters God not in the fire, not in the wind, not in the earthquake, but in the silence. There's a group of us that meets here most Mondays at 4 p.m. to encounter God in the silence. And then our second reading, we have St. Paul talking about what is the relationship between Christians and the law, right? It's one of those big questions we keep on chewing on and working over. And Paul has some things to say. And then finally, we have the encounter of Jesus with the demon-possessed man over in the region of the Gerasenes. And this, too, is a rich story with lots to say. But this week, I want to begin by telling you a little bit about what I was up to this past week. Because this past week, I went to Boston for a joint Episcopal and Lutheran churches young adult and campus ministry conference. And so the days at that conference were all very full from early to late with worship and workshops and discussion groups. Even our meals were organized to facilitate conversation and interaction and cooperation. The conference was great fun, but it was also exhausting. And after 4 days of extroverting, I was ready to get on a quiet train to ride home. Now, the learning that takes place in a conference like this happens at all sorts of different levels. Right now, at the conference, there were students, right, from those campus ministries, and there were laypersons who serve campus ministries, and there were also full-time staff members. There were even other people like me, people who were not hired specifically to do campus work, but who find it to be within the scope of our ministry, a missional imperative. And so together, we were learning details and techniques, tools for ministry, and ideas about the ways that we could help one another. We were also gaining wisdom and perspective as we shared with one another what's going on in our own contexts and experiences. So, and we also exchanged contact info so we could continue to draw on one another as resources. But it was a conference sponsored by churches. And so it began and ended and all in the middle with theology. Right? We were doing theology. We were talking about the big overarching work about the nature of God, about the meaning of the gospel, and about how those things inform and shape and are the root of the work that we are doing with young adults and on college campuses. Now, our keynote speaker this week was a young man named Micah Meyer. Micah grew up the son of a Lutheran youth pastor, and Micah spoke of the rejection and disdain that he had encountered as a young gay man growing up in Lincoln, Nebraska. Not from his parents, but from the culture around him. Right? He quickly learned not to let on that he thought differently from those around him because he saw the warnings on TV, right, when the Westboro Baptist Church would get mentioned. He saw the warnings in the casual epithets he heard floating around and in the coarse, denigrating jokes of his friends. And Micah knew that he was not welcome to bring his whole self to those relationships. Now, Micah talked about other influences, especially role models, who helped him to understand that he might not be such a monster. People who helped him eventually to lay hold of the truth that God loves him, that God leaves no part of him unloved. Eventually, Micah learned that the very fact that he was gay was not something to be hidden. It was not something unholy, but that his sexual orientation was simply another facet of the person that God created him to be. The person through whom God desired to express God's love for the world. Micah's message for young people today is the message that he wished he had heard earlier in his life. And that is the message that there is nothing wrong with you. God did not mess up. Now, there are an awful lot of us who question God's handiwork. Right? We look at our own lives and our personalities and our bodies, and we find them less than perfect. We sit in judgment on ourselves, and we try to hide or cover or minimize the parts of which we are ashamed. Those can be outward things associated with our body image, or they can be inward things, like fretting that maybe we're not as smart or as well-read or as socially savvy as someone else. Maybe we're too emotional. Maybe we're not emotional enough. Sometimes we are ashamed of the things that we like or don't like, or ashamed of the things that we struggle with or the challenges that we face. There's always some ideal to which we are not living up, some standard that we are not meeting, and sometimes that failure can feel crushing. But what does Paul say in our epistle today? Paul says that as many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Can you imagine how the Christians in Galatia would have heard what Paul was saying? Paul was doing an incredibly audacious thing. Paul was taking the very core of people's personalities, their very core of their identities, the markers by which they knew themselves, and saying that those things are irrelevant to the question of whether God loves you. Paul was talking about race and about class and about gender. Do we ever talk about those things in our world today? Man, this is scripture for today. Race and class and gender were foundational distinctions in Paul's world. They're still the ways that we often know ourselves or make sense of the world we live in too. Those are the conditions that we aspire to live up to, or occasionally to escape from. They are the basis upon which the powerful maintain power and excuse their refusal to practice justice. They are the basis for discrimination and denigration and abuse and othering. And Paul says these distinctions simply don't have any play in the kingdom of God. God's love is not in any way impeded or distinguished by them. And so today, we can talk about all kinds of issues, can't we? We can talk about mass incarceration and the whole justice system that so often is so highly racialized. Right? Our culture gets all in a tizzy about sexual orientation and practice. Reproductive rights are getting a lot of attention once again. And there's always lots of noise and bigotry around national origin and immigration status. There seems to be no end to the creative ways that people have for discriminating against, disempowering, and despising one another. But Paul tells us that none of those things have standing in the kingdom of God. Nobody is illegal or illegitimate or unwanted or despised. And furthermore, no part of you is messed up or wrong or unholy or irredeemable. The gospel, the good news of Christ, is that Jesus already died for you. And Jesus didn't just die for the parts of you that you're proudest of. Jesus died for all of you. And he died before you were born, before you'd had your first thought or for your first action or your first breath. God loves you because that's who God is. And there's nothing you can do to stop it. Now in Boston this week, late in the conference, somebody offered a bit of wisdom that I really appreciated about churches and welcoming. This person talked about how when a baby is born into a family, what does that family do? They take all their nice, lovely furniture that they so carefully picked out, and they cover it with like ugly rubber bumpers and things so the corners are, you know, won't hurt anybody. And they take those nice, smooth walls that were carefully finished and sanded and painted, and they drill holes in them so they can mount baby gates, right? We do things that disrupt our lives to care for that precious life that we're bringing into them. What happens when our parents or our spouses get old and we have to care for them in new ways? Right? Sometimes we'll change our dining room that was so lovely into a first floor bedroom. Or maybe we'll build a ramp up to the front porch. Add a railing to the bathtub. We'll do whatever it takes, right? We'll spare no expense to make sure that the person we love is safe and comfortable. That's the message of the church for us. You are loved by God. All of you is loved by God, and God will spare no expense. Even the bits that you're not proud of, they too are God's good creation. You are worthy to stand before God as God's beloved before you ever drew your first breath. Jesus bled and died to drive that point home. This is the message of the church for us, and this is our message as the church for others. Right? This is our message for the students over there at Rowan, or for anyone else who might walk through our doors. For someone that we love, we will spare no expense. We'll build a ramp up to the front door. We'll put in an elevator. Because that's what it means to love. Maybe we would even change our schedule or risk some social estrangement by hanging a rainbow flag. Just to make it perfectly clear the surprising welcome of Christ. Jesus did a lot more than these little things in order to convey to us a very simple message. There's nothing wrong with you. God did not mess up. You are loved, and you are welcome.